Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He used to want the bed, but now he doesn't. So let's have a slumber party.
Hello, my gorgeous, queefy little slumber party listeners. It's your host, Tim Murray. And you're listening to the podcast where I talk to drag queens, mama. Broadway stars, mama, and comedians, papa, about their, just doing a little tradition from Fiddler on the Roof to begin this podcast, about their sleepover experiences growing up. And today I have one of my closest friends, one of my favorite people on earth, recent transplant from poopy, scoopy New York City.
Incredibly recent.
Just kidding. We love you, New York. We love you, New York listeners. But we have a new transplant to LA, so I'm so happy to my only ever second in-person guest.
I'm
which
honored.
Is so huge. Please welcome to the stage. You know her from, we met doing 50 Shades.
I no longer know the words.
Good. That's probably fine.
Bye.
50 Shades, the musical I ever heard of off-Broadway. And, I don't know, maybe viral sensation from YouTube, the Do Not Sing list. We're talking millions of views over here. And, of course, she's going to be in a new... Ever heard of a DCOM? Disney Channel original movie called Under Wraps. Please welcome to the stage Jennifer Tilly. It's Melanie Brooke.
Should I put down the racket now?
Keep the racket up.
Keep it
all the time.
Okay, I'm gonna lay her down here so she'll be with me at all times.
Lay down her head and sleep, sleep, as Violet says. Mel, what is up?
Hi.
How are you going?
I'm great. I'm excited for an evening tennis romp.
Yeah, we're going to go play a little bit of tennis after this. Mm-hmm. I had Brad Gray Henson from Mean Girls the Musical, Tony nominee Gray Henson, on the podcast. And he asked me what was bringing me joy lately. And I said tennis. And the bitch laughed out loud. He was like, I just really did not expect
you
to say that.
Don't knock it till you try it, Gray.
Gray. Listener, it's so fun, don't you think?
It's so fun.
What do you like about it?
I think it's just really... I hate when people say, running is my meditation, or like whatever. But it really does feel meditative in the sense that you physically and mentally cannot focus on anything other than the ball.
That's exactly how
right?
I feel. Yeah.
It's like you have to. Even when your mind starts wandering, like a ball will come flying towards your face and you're back in the moment.
Truly. Yeah. And when you do get unfocused, I'm very like, I really want to get tested for ADHD for real. Because I really have like a lot of focus issues.
I'm diagnosing you. You have it.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I think it's, everybody listening, I think it's important to find a musical theater friend. Have them diagnose you with lots of different stuff.
So I have not a BFA, but I do have a BA in theater.
A Bachelor of Arts? You can diagnose me in... can diagnose like illnesses as well. Like you could tell me what's going
not
on with
just
my kidneys.
Not just mental physical illnesses, actually. Yeah. Full physical examinations.
Mm-hmm. You're literally prepared to, you're prepared to play a doctor, prepared to play a nurse, prepared to play a tennis pro, mama.
Oh, honey.
Wait, okay, but seriously, speaking of focus issues, I feel like if somebody's like talking nearby on the court, I get really distracted from listening to what they're saying. Mm. Or if I think a ball is going to like get under my feet, I get really distracted.
Oh,
and that's
I can't
all I think
deal
about.
With I don't know if you noticed, but when we played last time, I have to see the ball stop behind me. I can't just like let it roll to the fence and be okay with it. I'm like, it hit the wall. It's coming back for me. I'm about to crack my head open. So I have
a
like
a horror movie. It's
no,
coming.
It's back coming
back. For
it's
me.
Lurking up to my feet. Like, I'm always terrified of that. So yeah, I think that's normal.
I think that is normal. But what I think is cool about it is when I am focused on that stuff, I play really badly. Like, the ball does not even remotely go where it needs to go.
Sure.
So it's kind of reconditioning my brain to just try to stay really focused. Like, it's, I now, it's like giving me tools to tell myself, like, okay, yes, that ball is maybe underfoot.
Wow.
There's nothing you can do about it. Focus on the ball coming at you right now. And then you do, it just like, it really helps to like recondition. It's helping me focus.
That's
it's
true.
Keeping me off
that's
my
true.
Phone. It's just like,
yeah
you
yeah,
gotta
you
like.
You cannot be on your phone while playing tennis.
Famously, you've never seen Serena Williams texting while serving.
Like, it's just not possible. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And you like,
love tennis.
It's like a video game. Like, I've been swimming.
I don't know what that means, but.
You've never played video games?
I very, very little experience with it. I grew up with sisters. Like, we. Video games were not
a thing for me. Okay, that tracks. Yeah. I mean, I'm not like a huge video game person. Like, Michael's like crazy into video games. But I like the, you know what I mean? Like, Game Boy or even like board game.
Like just being immersed and.
And fun. Like, how do I explain this? Like, I don't know. Like, okay, I've been swimming lately as well because.
Okay, athlete.
People don't know this, but I'm an athlete.
You are fully an athlete.
I'm fully physical fitness. It's kind of my main thing.
Honestly, well, this is what happens when you move to LA.
Yeah, you just. I'm going to get Botox after this and play a little
Botox
tennis.
Botox and tennis. And where do you swim?
LA Fitness.
Excuse me?
$25 a month, baby. And with my new job, I've been driving all over the dang state. So I'm going outside of LA to LA Fitnesses that are way not crowded.
Mm.
And there's just outdoor empty pools. But here's what I'm going to say about swimming. Boring. Snooze fest.
Yeah,
I can't
get into that lifestyle. I can't get into that. What, you just go back and forth?
Literally.
That's the same thing with running. Can't get into it. What,
can't get into
you
it.
You just run?
Especially
that's it?
Since this pandemic, I never want to run ever again. If I never hear...
Why? What does the pandemic have to do with it?
Because we couldn't go to the gym.
Oh, so you were running?
For a year and a half,
I was not.
I gained 30 pounds running. Because it's just... I just couldn't, like, push myself to, like, get my heart rate up.
Right.
I was just kind of, like, hurting. All I was doing was hurting my knees.
That's all. You were just slapping your knees against
just
the concrete.
Hitting my knees over and over. Just doing a full star jump and landing on my knees over and over again.
Yeah, that's not good for you.
No.
Would not recommend.
Now, I'm so grateful that you're here in the city of Los Angeles, I gotta say. Are you enjoying so far?
I am. I really am, surprisingly.
I'm so glad.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to.
I didn't
or
either.
At least that's what is, like, you know, baked into your brain as a New Yorker, that, like, you will not enjoy this place. It's not a city, I just learned recently.
Los Angeles?
Yeah. Someone is like, it's not a city, it's a... I don't know. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, we might need to cut this part because I don't want to sound like an idiot. But
no,
like, someone,
I hope that you're right.
The other day was like, it's actually not a city. It's a blank blank. It's like a township or something. I'm like, what?
Oh, I feel like I get what you mean.
I don't know.
I mean, it is bizarre that it's like, it's so spread out.
Right. But like, it is actually a city, right?
It's a city.
Okay.
Mama, like 11 million people.
I was very confused. I was like, what do you mean it's not a city? I think they were like being funny, but I took it seriously. Anyway, so it's always like been a thing that New Yorkers are supposed to hate it here. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it.
Yes, I'm so glad. And you're like a New Yorker. Like, you were raised on Long Island, went to Wagner College.
Oh, yeah, honey. Born and raised.
Honey.
Yeah. I never never lived anywhere else. So,
oh yeah, that must be so.
It's pretty wild, but it's been the best thing I could have done for myself.
I'm so glad, and you're popping off in the TV film world. So, Mama, this is the place to be. It's just true.
Yeah.
Disney Channel original movie coming out so soon. Are you so excited?
I'm so excited.
I cannot wait to watch it.
Yeah.
Did you love DComs as a young thing?
This is why, like, this is such a specific dream come true because I really did. Me and my little sister, like, I grew up on DComs. I grew up on Disney Channel. Like, Lizzie McGuire was the ultimate.
Oh my God.
Like, everything to me. And then I grew up in, like, the golden age of DCOMs, High School Musical, High School Musical 2.
You just list every High School Musical incarnation.
No, but, like, Cadet Kelly, like, all
of, like, girl.
Christy Carlson Romano, like, everything. They meant the world to me. Like, I really, really love DCOMs and just Disney Channel in general growing up. So getting to do one, I still haven't processed.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
And very exciting.
Yeah.
Cadet Kelly.
Cadet Kelly, let's talk about it.
If I saw Nicole Kidman on the street right now, I would obviously gasp. I would be gagged for absolute filth. I would be thrilled. But if I saw Christy Carlson Romano on the street, I would run people over with my car to get to her.
She's such an icon. I just read an article that was like, Anne Hathaway beat Christy Carlson Romano out of... whatever
existence.
Her name is in the Princess Diaries, I guess they were both up for that part.
Shut up.
And I was like, oh my god, I could totally see her playing.
Yes,
that part.
She actually be great in that part.
Yeah, I mean, Anne Hathaway was amazing, obviously, but I was like, whoa.
Read an article that Christy Carlson Romano doesn't talk to Shia LaBeouf anymore.
Okay, I think all of these articles are coming out because Christy Carlson Romano recently made a YouTube channel.
Shut up.
Where she's, like, just talking to the camera about her life and experiences, and obviously being, like, the Disney Channel child that I am inside, I've been watching. So articles, like, take little sound bites. That's not true. She was telling a well-rounded, nice story about Shia LaBeouf. There's one thing in there that could have been interpreted negatively, and of course people are like, ugh, they hate each other, but... No. Everyone go watch the full 25-minute video on Christy Carlson Romano YouTube channel. And then form an opinion, okay?
I need to watch that
full
video.
You have to.
Remember when she was in Beating the Beast?
Umbrella. Her A Change in Me?
Okay. I know what video we're watching for our summer party. I've never seen it. Okay, we're going to watch it and react on this very channel.
Odds were stocked against... All the odds were stacked against her. Like, being a TV Disney Channel star coming to Broadway, I'm sure all the Broadway bitches at the time were rolling their eyes.
Furious, I bet.
Her voice, she fucking killed it. Like, phenomenal. Just one of the clearest belts I've ever heard to this day. I can't believe you've never heard her A Change in Me.
I can't believe I've never heard it either.
Get ready. It's so good.
The woman is a talent.
She's incredibly talented.
I mean, and obviously Shia LaBeouf is also so talented. That show was really good.
Yeah.
What happened to Beans? We're talking Even Stevens, of course.
Yeah, of course. What happened to Beans? Can we look into that?
We really need to look into that because he was so funny. Okay, as long as we're talking Even Stevens... The best musical adaptation, the most successful musical adaptation of television is the Even Stevens musical episode. Do you remember this?
Yes. I would love to revisit it.
We should really rewatch
it. I would
that.
Love to. Because the last time I watched it was when it came out, and I do remember it.
Do you remember the concept? The concept is genius and totally works. She gets influenza, the flu.
Of course.
And it's making her so delirious that she's... thinks people are singing. It's so good.
What if every musical, in order to make it make sense, that was... like, in order for people to break out into song, it's actually, at the end, is revealed that they had influenza.
Right. Like, what all the doctor TV shows do that with their episodes. Like, Grey's Anatomy, she got in a car accident.
Right.
So her head was making her see...
Sure.
Sandra Oh belting
right.
F sharps or something, but that one was a little wild. But the Scrubs episode's actually really good, and that's another. She has like some sort of disease, and it was the Scrubs musical episode is Stephanie D'Abruzzo from Avenue Q.
Of course, the original Fine Fine Line.
What, which is really good. I've been listening to that album more lately.
That song,
it's so good.
Is a perfect musical theater song.
Yeah.
It's funny, it's incredibly heartbreaking, and it's just like the structure of it musically, it all just comes together so beautifully. I love that song.
I love it so much. It really is heartbreaking.
Oh my god. There's a fine, fine line between love and a waste of time.
Okay, you looked like you were literally about to cry just now, and I
I am.
I'm so moved. I'm so moved.
I am. Because, like, have you... Think about that.
Yeah. In a waste of time. Like, whoa. That musical, whoa. Obviously it got its, like, just desserts. It got its day. It won everything of that sure. Tony's that year.
Yeah.
And listener, you know I'm a wicked queen through
yes,
and through.
Yes, Empress beat it out, yeah.
Hello. However, I do really think Avenue Q is so good.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously, it's in hindsight,
incredibly
it's racist.
Problematic. Yeah.
It, like, it's definitely racist, and a lot of it needs to be rewritten.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the stuff that's good is, like, really quite
yeah.
good. I've been going to USC to teach improv lately.
Oh, my God. Fun.
It's so fun. And every time I walk around on campus, I'm like, wow, they really did get that earworm right in us. I wish I could go back to college.
Mm.
Life was so simple back then.
Yeah.
That song, like, rings in my head because I'm walking on campus and it really is, like, the energy is just, like, very fun and electric. And I'm like, I want to have sex with a frat boy. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I wish I could go back to college. I do appreciate how, like, simple life was. But if I had the chance, would I go back? Nah.
No, I definitely wouldn't actually go back either.
Oh, you wouldn't?
I mean, I'd maybe go back for a day. If I could hop in a time machine and go
sure.
back for a day.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
To feel that, like, kind of, like, unbridled optimism and joy.
Sure.
And, like, community. I miss the community of
right,
it.
Right, right.
Which, okay, transition.
Okay.
We had that in 50 Shades, I felt. And it was really heartbreaking to me when that ended. Like,
right.
It really made me want to quit theater forever.
Really?
Yeah, because it was like, I remember I left the show a week early to go do Spelling Bee, which you almost
right.
did with me.
Yeah, I forgot about
in
that.
In Kentucky.
Yeah.
And I was, like, looking at all the pictures on Instagram of you guys closing without me. Literally, I did the whole run except for the last week so that I could go do this other show.
I hate that decision for you.
I hate that, too. And I was, like, looking on Instagram at you guys closing the show. I think also I was partly trying to protect myself because, like, I really, really, now I'm gonna cry. I, like, really loved doing that show. It was really so fun. And we had such a community. Like, we
yeah.
really, like, when you do theater, like, they're not messing around when they're like, yeah, it's like you become, like, a little family. Like,
oh, yeah.
We had each other's backs. There's just so much ingrained in common that you have with each
mm-hmm.
other.
And I also think it's something about, like, being also around that age where you don't really have a lot going on outside of it
totally.
That, like, y'all just become so close for better or for worse because it's not like, oh, gotta get home to, like, the kids or, like, my partner or something. It's just like it really becomes your whole life in
yeah.
a way that's, like, amazing but also, like, toxic but also
yeah
amazing.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad you're out here and I have part
I
of my community
know.
Out here now.
Yeah, me too.
That was the hardest thing for me about moving out here was, like, missing all my friends
right.
in New York. But now they're all moving
out
here.
Of, like, moving during the pandemic, it's like we were all so used to staying in touch on FaceTime, text, whatever, that it didn't feel that big of a thing for me because it's
yeah.
like, I haven't seen anyone in years anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Like, bye.
Now, pandemic, thumbs up or thumbs down? Did you love it or did you hate it?
Beginning, loved it. Then went through the absolute worst breakup of my life and then hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you at now in this moment? Because we're still in it, pretty much.
Where am I at, like, pandemic-wise?
Yeah, how are you feeling about, like, how much you're able to see people and et cetera?
I feel okay.
Yeah.
I'm the kind of person that... I have to just, I'm obviously vaccinated, I'm as careful as I can be, but I also, like, can't just stay in my room. Like, I'm living my life.
Good.
Yeah.
Because it's honestly time. Like, we just gotta.
We gotta.
At this point, we're vaccinated. Everybody get vaccinated.
Please.
And then let's put masks on. Keep
yeah,
your masks on.
Absolutely.
But, like, honey, I can't stay in my house
no,
anymore.
No, no, no.
I've had enough.
I've had enough.
Noof.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta know. What were slumber parties like growing up?
For some reason, I knew I was coming to do your podcast, and I did not for one second think about what my slumber parties
well,
were like.
Well, in fairness to you, I often completely forget to ask. It just becomes
like,
chatting
okay, that is
about...
literally the name of your podcast. Slumber parties.
You had three sisters.
Oh, I had two sisters.
You had three sisters. You had two sisters.
Yeah, three sisters. Anton Chekhov vibes. So it was kind of like a slumber party every night, baby. No, not really. But, I mean, I went to sleepaway camp. Does that count?
That absolutely counts. Okay. Nobody's honestly ever talked about sleepaway camp.
I mean, that is everything. That is the ultimate slumber party. It's a slumber party for 6 weeks.
Okay, 6 weeks you're away from your family. How old were you?
So I started going into fifth grade. My older sister went like much younger. I was supposed to be going younger, but then every time it would be time to like get on the bus and go, I would sob and be like, I can't go. So then I chickened out, but then I eventually went when I was like, I guess 11, 12. And then I went up until my senior year of high school.
Oh, was it the same people like returning?
Oh, most of yeah, very much.
Wait,
so.
That's so exciting. Especially, oh my God, the whole idea of like, your world is so small then, pre-social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, pre-Facebook.
I mean, it was, yeah, MySpace started becoming a thing, but there were no cell phones, like,
right.
At camp.
Right.
Like, that, no.
So, like, your world is so small, so insular, you have, like, maybe, you know, people from, like, I don't know, church or, like...
Oh, let me make it clear, this was a Jewish camp.
Hell yes.
So, no churches were there, but... It was very, like, Long Island Jewish people.
But not people from your school.
Oh, no.
New
no.
people.
Yes.
That's what I mean. That's yes. What's so crazy is, like,
yes.
When you're like, a kid, you only have, like, your small community.
Yeah. It's like you're a whole different person.
It's
like, this is Melanie at camp, and this is Melanie at school. And it's like, the two you wouldn't even recognize. Like, it's crazy. I do think if I ever have kids, like, I will send them to camp.
Okay,
it's,
I like, love that.
Yeah.
I never got to go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because I was a bedwetter.
Oh.
And so I probably could have gone.
You could have. There were definitely a ton of bedwetters.
I'm sure there were bedwetters there, but I was like scared.
Right.
So I was like, and honestly, my brother and sister never went to camp either.
Right. It just wasn't. It is definitely a Jewish thing.
It's a super Jewish thing. I know that. A very Northeast Jewish
right.
thing. But also definitely other kids who are not Jewish in my town definitely did it.
For sure.
But I know they're like. A ton of Jewish camps for kids, like in Maine and Massachusetts and New York. But in Ohio, there's like all sorts of camps that I know people went to.
Right.
In fact, there was like a shorter one that a lot of the kids from the pool that I went to growing up went to. I think it was only like a week. And it was on like one of the islands on the lake. And they would all talk about it like it was like the coolest thing.
Mm.
But I was also like, were you shy? I was like socially anxious.
Oh yeah, I was a super shy kid. That's why like I chickened out from going for so long. But it definitely forces you to not be shy. It's like the best thing to do or to force your kid to do if they're really shy.
Okay, let's get into it.
Yeah.
We can cut this if we start to say problematic stuff.
Okay.
Do you think we're losing, not to sound like so baby boomer, but do you think we're losing some of that oomph that is necessary to, like, push this next generation to do stuff like that? Like, Gen Z, to me, I feel like we have, like, for the most part, I feel like we very smartly have figured out better languaging to be more sensitive and not push people to do things they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost 95%. Think that that's all improvement. And then there's this small 5% where I'm like, for instance, I teach a lot of Gen Z teenagers.
Right.
And I love, love, love them. And they are so progressive and so amazing.
Right.
But there is a lot of like, well, I don't want to do that because of X, Y, or Z. And they have the languaging to say like, because I'm socially anxious or because I'm feeling anxious. I have anxiety. And I try to explain to them most of the time, like, yeah, that is part of what comes up when you're doing something like improv that is basically going to cause you anxiety.
Right.
If you indulge me and like push through that and participate, I think it might help relieve some of that anxiety, which is like sort of like what going to summer camp is.
Right.
It's like helps you socially adapt.
Right.
Do you think that we are losing some of that like, I know you're anxious, but just go mentality? Like, do you think less kids are going to go to camp? I guess this is my very, very long-winded question.
Yeah. I never really thought about that before. But yeah, I think I naturally was and still am introverted and like don't, and socially anxious, I guess would be the languaging for it now. Like I don't necessarily feel comfortable around new people that I don't know, but I'm grateful that I went and like got pushed out of my comfort zone. So I don't know, I guess it's a very like case by case thing.
Yeah. Right?
Because there are some kids that like just need that little push, and then there are some kids that like that could be traumatic.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So it's just, I guess it's based on the kid, but
no, yeah, I'm not suggesting that like if you have like a serious mental issue
right.
that you be like forced
push
away from your
it.
Family and go to camp. I definitely don't want to sound like that kind of boomer-esque about that at all. Like I really, because I feel both parts of it too. Like there are parts of me that really wish I didn't have to like hunker down and do all the dumb crap I didn't want to do, or like explain to my parents or my siblings especially, like I'm feeling really anxious right now. I want to sit in my room and play video games, or I want to just go in that dark room and watch TV. I come from like a huge family and I'm the youngest by like a lot.
Mm.
So I never wanted to hang out with all these old adults.
Right.
It made me anxious. And my siblings still give me grief about it to this day. They're like, that was so disrespectful that you would always just like go in the other room and play video games. And
you're
I was like,
I was 10. Leave me alone.
You were 18. Like, that's
right.
That's different.
Two completely different
Way
brains.
Different ages. But yeah. Then, to their credit, when I would come home from college and I was 18, 19, 20, I would probably go like sit on Facebook more than
sure.
they used to do that when
yeah.
they were that age. But I'm very socially anxious, and I'm really introverted. I would get so drained. So I really do see both sides
yeah.
of it. It's like, I guess, do you think you are better off because you went to camp?
Yes.
Like,
Yeah.
That's really saying something, I feel.
Yeah.
I, like, always was involved in, like, activities, like sports. Like, I played, like, tennis, like I said. And
Don't forget.
Please don't forget. We play tennis. Thank you. And I
right.
swam always growing up. So I like would hang out at this like local pool in the summers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for that because like you said, I could like be a different person there.
Right.
But I don't know. And my parents forced me to go to a different school freshman year of high school. I had like the same school K through A, and I like truly didn't have any friends. And then they forced me to go to the public school and I like thrived there. And I remember crying on the first day of school to my mom when she picked me up, and just the very much the vibe of like, I cannot believe you made me do this. Cause I like sat at the lunch lunch was like the worst moment of my life. Like I didn't know anybody.
Oh.
I didn't know where I was gonna sit. I didn't know who to sit by.
The worst.
It was so horrible. And I remember getting in the car and just like sobbing, crying and being like, this was a huge mistake. And like, the vibe was like, I'll never forgive you for this.
Oh, no.
And she was crying, and it was like a whole thing. But she knew, they knew, like,
right.
I had to stick it out. And that was my camp. Like, that changed my life.
Right.
They were right. They made me go through, like, a very, very hard transition.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the best things that ever happened
right.
to me.
Well, I think, like, even now, it's cheesy, but you can't grow without being uncomfortable. You just can't.
Oprah
Winfrey. But like anything that feels scary and uncomfy, like on the other side, not anything. That's
but
way too broad of a statement. But something that like you're working towards and you want for your life or for yourself, it's like, it's always gonna not feel great getting there, in my experience.
That's
unless you're just handed things, which love that for you,
but it doesn't feel as good.
True.
If you're just handed it,
right.
Like it really feels so amazing to like to be we are ingrained in us as like we want to be challenged.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then overcoming challenge feels really good.
Yeah. I'm in like a huge, huge growth period in my life, like in my personal life, in a way I've never been before. And it's so uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable. It's like constant uncomfy feelings. But like I know through therapy and other things that like this is ultimately good.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah.
I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
And I know that it like sucks.
Yeah.
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 I'm proud of you for doing it and like feeling through it because I'm a little older than you and I have been trying to do what you're doing for a long time and numbing it and avoiding it.
Oh yeah.
And it's like it just makes it it's still gonna have to happen if you wanna like survive.
Right.
If you wanna like be happy and like live a happy life.
Right.
And I'm still like
it's definitely like a lifetime sort of thing. It's not something that one day I'm gonna be like, well, did it. Made it.
But you probably will feel better than you did before.
Oh, I already feel so much better than I did a few weeks, a few months ago. So it's like, it's all
growth.
Good stuff.
Growth,
baby.
So what you said, you were saying it's like, okay, if anything, anytime you're growing, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's kind of like a penis. Like when a penis is inside of a tight shorts and underwear and it's flaccid.
Wait, when your penis grows, is that uncomfortable?
I mean, when it gets erect.
No, that's what I mean.
Yeah, if it's trapped under clothes.
Oh, if it's trapped.
Yeah. See, if it's, because you can't be trapped.
See, you can't be trapped. You have to just be
clothes.
Out there.
You gotta be free is what
and
we're trying to say.
And free to grow. Free to enlarge yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. I love that metaphor.
Thank you so much. You're like a hard penis.
I am a hard penis growing out of its shell. I'm an uncircumcised, semi-flaccid penis on her way to becoming fully erect.
Trapped under tidy whities and khaki pants.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Speaking of penises, who was your first crush? Do you remember your first crush?
Oh my God. Who was my first crush?
It could be a real person or a celeb.
Well, Chad Michael Murray.
Oh,
which I feel
my
like was
God.
So many at the time, like Cinderella story. Really,
oh my God.
I think that was the first time when I looked at someone and I was like, I was like, what?
Hilary Duff really had a death grip on.
Holy.
You're God. Like 3 years younger than me, I want to say. 2 or 3 years younger than me.
Sure. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I really love Hilary Duff. She was big, but like.
No,
the
Hilary
year, like
Duff.
Your year, and like, would you say Farrah, your older sister, has as much Hilary Duff love as you?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, I think it was like my year was like the prime of Hilary
I mean,
Duff.
She really sunk her teeth into you guys.
Oh my God.
If you talk to anybody your age and they literally are like, I had the posters.
No, I mean, like I mentioned before, Lizzie McGuire was like the absolute blueprint for my personality. Like, I just wanted to be her and tried to be her. And yeah, but I remember watching a Cinderella story, seeing Chad Michael Murray, and like, I think it was the first time I felt like attraction or something, whatever that is. So yeah, I guess he was my first crush.
He is hot.
He's so fucking hot.
He's so hot.
It's ridiculous, and I don't even usually like
hot.
Like that kind of hot. Like I like weird hot.
Okay. So
like, and he's not weird.
Yeah,
hot. He's just
all
like
American
yeah,
boy.
He's just fucking,
conventionally,
he's just hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, to this day, honey.
Yeah, he could honestly get it. Should we get him on the pod?
Get him on the pod.
It's really rude also to me that he's not gay.
Yeah, he's not.
When he would wear those like necklaces, like so early
God,
2000s,
like
puka shell.
Like, the wife beater.
That's
he invented the way. Oh my God. He's great. Did you watch One Tree Hill? Are you a One Tree Hill fan?
No, I was
Whoa.
Dawson's Creek.
Ooh.
A little more sophisticated.
Okay.
Well,
that's.
He's the hunk on that,
oh,
right?
Major, yeah.
What is One Tree Hill about?
What is One Tree Hill about?
What is it about?
It's about a place called Tree Hill, North Carolina.
No,
yeah.
Melanie.
And there's only one Tree Hill. Is a line in...
The place is called Tree Hill?
Absolutely.
I'm
that's
sorry.
It's all
that's
based
lazy.
Around Tree Hill.
That's lazy. I don't like
oh
it.
Oh my God, it's such an iconic show. You would die if you rewatched it right now. It's so insane. I don't even know if I could describe it. I mean, it's like a teen drama, like in the same vein as The OC, but not as like glamorous. It's very much like these are working families. The kids like barely have parents, not because it's their story, but just because they like didn't hire adult actors. Like, like none of like
other than the 40-year-olds who are playing teenagers.
Right. Yeah. Right, absolutely. Yeah, and there's just like a lot of love triangles, high school drama, and then they grow up. They skip 4 years in the series. And they come back post-college. They all move back to Tree Hill. And within those 4 years, one of them is like a millionaire businesswoman. One of them is a famous singer-songwriter. This all happened within 4 years after college, of course. Of course. Of them is a New York Times best-selling author.
No.
I swear to God, I'm not exaggerating whatsoever. And the other one is an NBA basketball player.
You're lying.
And those are the four leads of the series. They came back 4 years after high school, but they decide, you know what, I'm gonna give up all of my success and move back to Tree Hill. And then we restart. That's like season six, I think.
You are making that up.
No, not at all.
A professional basketball player who gave it up to move back to Tree Hill.
Absolutely. Oh no, in his case, he actually is playing now for the team, like the NBA team in North Carolina, whatever that is.
Holy crap. Is that Chad Michael Murray?
No. Surprisingly, it's his brother on the show. Chad Michael Murray also played basketball, but he actually became a writer, which is incredibly believable, and wrote a novel called The Ravens, which is a New York Times best-selling book. So think. And then there are scenes of him, like, at his laptop, like, having writer's block, and it's just Chad Michael Murray, like, I can't write my second book. Like, I can't live up to how successful my first book was. Like, it's so crazy.
Oh, my God. I love... Okay, so you're really selling me on this show.
Now I can't stop. And the first book he wrote that was so successful is, of course, about the girl that he is in love with, who's, like, one of the main girls on the show. But then he falls in love with his book editor, and it's his whole thing. Anyway, I don't want... No more spoilers here, but... Go forth and watch.
I'm going to need to watch that television program. Mm-hmm. Stat. Okay, that sounds truly bonkers, Atrandra. What were your favorite... I know we delved into them a little bit, but your DCOMs that you really lived and died for.
Oh my God. Well, I mean...
Let's rank them. Let's rank our faves right now. Go for it.
Okay, well... This is hard because I recently did a deeper dive into like the earlier DCOMs because I wanted
studying.
Studying
for your craft. Your craft.
So I watched. Oh my God, what is it called? It's one word. Not bonked, but it's something.
Brink.
Like, but yes, I'm not bonked.
We're playing a game show over here.
Brink, so I recently watched Brink.
So
good.
So good.
Oh my God.
Skating, right? Yeah. Rollerblading?
Iconic.
Really and good.
Wait, what was the one that you brought up before?
Probably something amazing.
Friendship?
The Color of Friendship.
Oh, The Color of Friendship.
When you told me you were doing a remake of the first ever DCOM movie, I don't know why. I think it's because the first one I ever saw. Because we didn't have Disney Channel until we
did.
Like, it just suddenly came on.
Right.
Like, everybody got it at the same time in Ohio. Like, it just came on the cable package. And we were like, now there's all this content for us besides Nickelodeon.
Wow.
It was like huge. And so it was like a huge cultural shift.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was the first one I watched. And I'm pretty sure it's like super problematic. And it's like about like a young black girl and a young white girl who... our friends.
And that's all.
That's like the whole thing. It's like, isn't this amazing that they can be friends?
Oh,
it's like,
no.
Really not great. But so there's that one, which I don't really remember very well other than that.
Right. What was the Tyra Banks one?
Life Size. Actually, I don't think that's a DCOM. That's an ABC made for TV movie.
Really?
I could be wrong. No, listener, feel free to tell me if I'm wrong.
It feels like a DCOM.
That was primetime television. Like, I think it was because Lindsay Lohan was like a huge star.
Right.
And Tyra was a huge star.
So are you saying Tyra that huge stars don't do DCOMs?
Oh, I really stepped into it there, didn't I? I really walked into it there, didn't I? Well, it's just that the Disney Channel wasn't available to like... nationwide,
sure.
And ABC was. I'm pretty sure this was on freaking ABC, like 8 p.m., like competing with Friends, like 8 p.m. must see TV.
Yeah.
Shine bright, shine far, be a star.
Right.
Where you live, where you are, be a star.
Wait, I have a really dumb question.
Go off.
I'm sure I'm wrong. I can't even say it. But I was going to say, Mary-Kate and Ashley, though, all of those, that didn't have to do with Disney Channel, right?
Okay, really good question. All of the movies,
because in my mind they're together, but I don't think they actually were.
They're actually not, because they were on, now it's Freeform, but it was Fox, it was ABC Family, and before that it was Fox Family, which I think are the same. So it is in the Disney universe, for sure. Okay. But it wasn't like Disney all their Channel. Stuff was on Fox Family / ABC Family.
Right.
Yeah, they were never Disney Channel queens, I don't think.
Okay.
But yeah, all that stuff
melded in my brain.
Vibe.
Yeah, it's the
God,
same
I love
vibe.
Mary-Kate and Ashley so much.
Oh,
like,
my God.
So much.
Absolutely iconic. What's your favorite movie?
Of the Mary-Kate and Ashleys? Yeah. Billboard Dad.
Ah.
Where they try to find a dad.
Iconic.
They don't try to find a dad. They try to find a wife for the dad on the billboard.
Yeah.
It's so good. But also, I love It Takes Two. But that's, again, that's like, that's where it's hard, because like, that's a different
tier.
For
me, it's Holiday in the Sun.
I've never seen that one.
What the
heck? The Australian one.
Are you okay?
I'm not okay. We need to watch
it. Stop. End the recording.
Let me guess. They're twins. Okay, let me guess what Holiday in the Sun is about. You tell me if I'm right.
Yeah.
They're identical twins.
I barely remember, but me vouching for this movie, I have no idea.
They're identical twins. Mm. They have to go to Australia for a vacation with their parents. They don't want to go. They want to stay back with their boyfriends on land in California, as if Australia is off land. And they go to Australia. They see some kangaroos. They get into a bit of mischief. And they meet some boys there who are super fun and cool. And they fall in love with the Australian boys. And then at the end of the movie, they have to decide to say goodbye to their Australian boyfriends. Because this was just
fun.
A holiday
in the sun.
And they're going to miss Christmas in winter. Because they're going to be in Australia where it's the opposite season.
That is exactly the plot.
No, what really happens in Holiday in the Sun?
No, I actually have no memory. I'll have to circle back on that.
Need to know, so we're going
to
look.
We have to Holiday in the Sun. Synopsis of me. Hurry. 2001 film.
2001
Megan
film.
Fox!
Megan Fox!
Oh, yeah, she played the mean girl, of course.
Oh, my God, of course.
This is a dream made of,
a direct-to-video rom-com adventure. Okay.
Alex falls for Hattie Jordan. But you're right. This is what it's about.
Wait, this is amazing.
But they go to Hawaii, not Australia.
Oh, which is the Australian one? Like Down Under or something, probably? Madison and Alex. Okay, they could not have picked more perfect names for like...
that moment in time.
Popular tween twins in that time. Madison and Alex are twin sisters from Illinois who are whisked away to Atlantis Resort in the Bahamas.
Atlantis, they better plug Atlantis Resort. They sponsored it.
Initially, the sisters are disappointed that they didn't get to go to Hawaii with their friends, but overcome it by
the long ride.
They overcome it by enjoying their newly earned freedom in the form of their own suite, as well as the pristine beaches of the Caribbean.
Alex falls for Hattie Jordan, a worker at the resort. Oh. She's not the only one with her eye on Jordan. A spoiled heiress, Rihanna Wallace, played by Megan Fox.
Wait, that's crazy.
He's also in love with him and plays dirty to get her away. Madison, meanwhile, is being wooed by a cute but brainless Scott, who in turn is being coached behind the scenes by Griffin. Austin Nichols, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a hottie.
Is he?
Oh, maybe not.
Oh, he's on Watch Your Hill! He played Julian on Montreal.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We really couldn't have planned this more perfectly.
Oh my God. That's so iconic. Anyway, that's Holiday in the Sun. Wow. I can't believe he was.
Wait. That all sounds totally normal. And then their fun in the sun is interrupted when they cross paths with a man smuggling stolen artifacts.
Wait, what? Wait, we didn't need anything more. We didn't
that was a full movie already, but...
Though their parents are keeping a close eye on them, the sisters and Griffin must... Because there is always, like, a mystery aspect, right?
Which is part of why we love them so much.
Yes,
they weren't
always...
basic. There was... Okay, here's the thing.
We weren't here just for boys. We were here for smuggling artifacts.
Adventure smuggling artifacts for detective work, mama.
Wait. Though their parents are keeping a close eye on them, the sisters and Griffin must find a way to clear Jordan's name when their friend is wrongfully arrested for the crime.
Okay, so Mike White, I'm taking you to task. You fully lifted White Lotus.
Wait a second.
Wait a second. White Lotus is just Holiday in the Sun?
Wait.
That's literally the exact plot of White Lotus.
That's exactly the plot.
And almost equally the same number of people of color in both projects.
Right.
Almost no people of color in White Lotus. Almost no people of color in Holiday in the Sun. Wait, this is wow. Wow, wow, wow. Taking you to task, Mike. Okay, that's all extremely
that's
crazy,
wild.
If I'm being honest. And, okay, what?
My mind is blown.
Okay, the adventures. Here's the issue with the Olsen twin brand.
Oh, okay.
You're like, there was always some kind of adventure,
some kind of
mystery twist. Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
So the really good ones, the ones I loved, were like when that sort of crazy shit happens. But then sometimes they were just tween girls having fun. And I needed there
and
to always be an
more.
Adventure.
You
like the detective
more.
Series was
oh my God.
So
iconic.
Who stole the Great Hope Diamond?
Yeah.
What killed the dinosaurs? Who makes the finest pizza? What's in my brother's dresser drawers? Mysteries of life waiting to be solved. Here we stand in our trench coats trying to get involved. We're super duper troopers. We want a mystery. I mean, come on.
Speechless. He's verbatim off book ready. Ready.
I love that series.
Wow.
I mean, when they're like trying to solve the mystery of SeaWorld, when they're trying to solve the mystery of the Haunted Mansion, like
yeah, they were ahead of their time. They were on to SeaWorld before.
They really
yeah.
pre Blackfish.
Yeah, they knew.
They knew something was
MK
up.
And Ashley knew something was up at
they
SeaWorld.
They knew something was
okay?
up at SeaWorld.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're like doing all that, and then these movies come out, which are super fun, but then sometimes there is no twist. In It Takes Two, which is very good film,
right.
It's kind of mostly just the Parent Trap. There's no like
sure.
mystery adventure.
Sure.
I crave that.
We crave.
I crave that.
Artifacts being smuggled.
Not to totally change the subject, but how do you feel about Wicked?
How do I feel about Wicked? No one's ever asked me that.
It's an important question.
And now I'm like really want to take a minute and give you like a really honest answer here.
Yeah.
I love it. True story, would skip in my middle school. No, this was high school. It was like early high school. I'd walk, my mom would drop me at school, I would walk to the train station, skip school, get on the train by myself and rush Wicked in New York City all alone, lose the lottery, get back on the train, in time for fifth period, continue my day, never got caught.
Okay, that was hot.
So if that tells you anything, I was a huge Wicked fan. But, I mean, not at your level. Like, I'm not currently still obsessed with Wicked.
Okay.
Which I have to admit.
What if I started playing you, like, really good Defying Gravities, though? Would it, like, excite you? Do you think you'd get back on the bandwagon? Because I took a long break as well.
You did.
I was, like... obsessed, saw like my first four girls.
Sure.
Like the first 3 years that it was out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to college and I stopped, you know, I would listen to it every now and again, but I stopped caring about it. And then during the pandemic, I like became obsessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that I ever stopped loving it.
Yeah.
I just like was like, okay, that it ran its course. There's only so much of.
Right.
A show you can consume.
Right. I would love to see it again. It's been a few years.
Well, I ask you because I just reacted to Lindsay Heather Pierce doing Defying Gravity on the reopening night on Broadway.
How was it?
It was so moving and so beautiful.
That's amazing.
And exciting and thrilling. And she sounded so good. And like, you literally can like see the actress like stopping herself from beaming, smiling. Because the crowd, they leapt to their feet at the start.
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Of the flying.
Yeah.
I just think that's so cool about theater. Like that kind of group mind thing of like everyone in the audience was like, yeah, this
yeah.
is where we're going to like
totally
live for this moment. Like yeah. it's just really beautiful.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. It's that time of the pod I like to call, wait, let's have fun. So at this time of the pod, we're going to play some slumber party games. I have a little would you rather for you.
Okay.
My would you rather is, don't pay attention to anything that I'm typing in. My would you rather is, would you rather be Mary-Kate or Ashley?
How dare you. Mary-Kate.
Why?
It's a really bad reason. I like her name better.
No, that's like the perfect reason. And that's actually also my answer. How I lost the Princess Diaries to Anne Hathaway. Okay, this, honestly, this YouTube channel seems absolutely lit.
No, and it's incredible. Kristen
Costa Romano looks gorgeous.
No, she's thriving. She's living in Austin with her husband and kids and like living her absolute best life.
Okay, I'm so thrilled
you have
for
to,
her.
Yeah, you have to delve on in.
Also, did you know that Anne Hathaway was the ninth choice for Devil Wears Prada?
No, I did not know
she
that.
She said it on Drag Race. I guess like all these other women were above her in the pecking order because she was like definitely famous, but she wasn't like, I mean, Devil Wears Prada really is what like made her like
right.
A-list. Mm-hmm. Wow, that I'm gonna need to watch that. That's mm-hmm. like such a gag. They even look so similar. Those two girls.
Oh, they do. They really do. They are the same type.
They're the exact same type. Okay.
There is a bootleg of this, though, from... Like, type in Kristy Carlson Romano. I changed it.
Also, Beauty and the Beast, I forget about it sometimes. I don't think...
Okay.
I don't think it's there.
Okay, that we'll have to do then.
If we were at a slumber party right now, what movie would you want to watch?
Well, you got me really in the mood to watch, like, Billboard Dad or something.
Oh
like,
my god, like, yes, that's the perfect
like, now
movie.
That's just something I want to do immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Billboard
What would
Dad.
You want to watch?
I would want to watch probably, I would want to watch the detective episode of the SeaWorld thing. Or no, now I want to watch Holiday in the Sun.
Wait, take it back. Let's watch Holiday.
I want to watch Holiday in the Sun.
Yeah, let's be real here.
Okay, Mary F. Kill.
Okay.
Mary F. Kill. Being Lindsay Lohan in Life Size.
Okay.
Being Kristy Carlson Romano in Even Stevens, and being Hilary Duff in Lizzie McGuire.
Hilary Duff and Lizzie McGuire.
Mary.
Oh, sorry.
There are no other answers, just that. Period.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Wait, that's so funny. I genuinely lost track of the question. I just had only eyes on Lizzie McGuire. Okay, Mary F. Kill. Oh my god, that's hard.
I know.
Wait, what is it again? Lizzie McGuire.
Being Lizzie McGuire, being the girl in Life Size, being Kristy Carlson Romano and Ian Stevens.
That's so hard. So being them?
You're marrying, effing, or killing the idea of getting to be those characters.
Okay. Okay, so the idea of being... Oh, that's so hard. Okay, I would marry the idea of being Lizzie McGuire.
Yeah, I knew that. Okay, I knew you would say that.
Whatever is the most permanent option for Lizzie McGuire, that's what I would do. This is hard. I think... I would F the idea of being Lindsay Lohan in Life Size because Tyra was
exactly.
there.
I was just going to say, you could speak
and
Tyra.
Then I get, I mean, it pains me, but I guess I would have to rid of Even Stevens.
Yeah.
By default.
Like there was a, see, also you'd be avoiding a lot of like, well, I guess Life Size probably had this too, but a lot of toxicness on the set.
Mm.
Famously, Shia LaBeouf's dad was like a real meanie.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So
a real jerkaholic.
Totally.
So you get to avoid that.
Right.
And then Life Size. Yeah, you get to meet Tyra.
Yep.
And that movie's just so iconic. And then you would marry Liz McGuire because that's your girl.
That's my absolute girl.
Love it.
What Let's go play some tennis, baby.
Let's go play some tennis, baby. Where can the people follow you?
Instagram. It's my screen name. I will never change it. It's MellyB14, baby.
No, baby.
Just MellyB14.
MellyB14, baby. MellyB14. And look out for her Disney Channel original movie. Yes. Coming so soon.
It's coming out on Disney Channel on the 1st of October and on Disney Plus on the 8th of October.
Hell yeah. You can follow me at TMurray06 on all platforms. We're going to go play some tennis. Bye. Thank you, listeners. Bye.
Let's have a slumber party.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.